and welcome to the £1 Movie Podcast. I am your host, Wayne, and this is episode 28. If you're a repeat listener, welcome along. Thanks for checking me out yet again. And if you're a new listener, also welcome along. It's always great to have new listeners. If you're not sure what this is, every episode I'm going to explain this to you because it's just fun. I've been out to charity shops, CEX, car boots, anywhere. I'm stumbling on my words, people. Anyway, you can buy a cheap DVD, basically a DVD movie, not a CD-ROM or, you know, a CD-ROM or a PC game or anything like that, an actual DVD movie for £1 or less. That's the entire crux of the show, just to see what your money will get you. As this show has showed you time and time again, they could be absolutely anything. You know, we had Zombiesaurus on that episode a few weeks ago, and we've also had a couple of Oscar winners and Oscar-nominated films. And on this episode, we are going back to the 90s, people. And we are going to be talking about Run Lola Run. So, Run Lola Run from 1998. This is directed by Thomas Tykwer. It stars Franka Potenta and Moritz Bliebetrev. Probably butchered his name, so apologies, Moritz Bliebetrev. And I'm going to call him that all right the way through, and I'm sorry if it's wrong. It has an IMDb score of 7.7 out of 10 and a Rotten Tomato score of 93%. It cost $1.75 million, which equates to 3.5 million Deutschmarks back in 1998. And it grossed $7.2 million worldwide. And I bought this for the princely sum of 25p because it was £4 out of a charity shop. And it has a running time of 77 minutes. Something I've never done before is all the films that I have lined up for the podcast, I've never seen. I've never seen Run Lola Run. And I know all of you are pointing at the fucking radio right now going, "You've never seen Run Lola Run?" We haven't seen everything. I haven't got time to watch everything. I'm trying to correct it as I go along. So, yeah, this is my first time watching Run Lola Run. And just missed this. It's a certificate of 15. I'm going to read you the synopsis now off the back of the DVD. So it says, Manny, Moritz Bliebetrev, who works as a small-time courier for a big-time gangster, is in huge trouble. He has accidentally left the cash for the mob boss on a subway, and he has only 20 minutes to deliver the 100,000 marks to his unforgiving boss. Desperate, he calls his girlfriend, Lola, Franka Potenta, the only person who can save him from certain death. As the seconds tick away and the tiniest choices become life-affecting, Lola must try to reach Manny before the line between fate and future begins to blur. One story told from three perspectives. Run Lola Run is a veritable muse of intriguing plot twists and heart-stopping suspense in a high-octane thrill ride about one woman's desperate attempt to save her lover. You won't know this, but that'll be heavily fucking edited, that. That was horrendous. Bit of background on the film. There's lots of lovely trivia on the IMDb bit, which is pretty much where I start all my research from. Franka Potenta wore a red wig for the film. And it is on display at the DFF, which is the German Film Museum, in Berlin. The idea came to Thomas Tykwer, the director of the film, one night when he had a dream of a red-haired woman running down a city street. And he loved it so much that he wanted to make a film about it. So that's what he went off and did. The English dub to this film is widely regarded as one of the worst in history. And the film contains about 1,581 transitional shots in the 71 minutes that it's on. This equates to an average shot length of about 2.7 seconds long. The director, Thomas Tykwer, I've wrote it down phonetically as well. It is Tykwer, I'm correct. He is the director and writer of Run Lola Run. Not only a director of this, but 22 other TV and movies, including he did 1/3 of Cloud Atlas, along with the Wachowskis. He's also a composer, and he wrote the score to Run Lola Run, some of the Cloud Atlas as well, and Hologram for the King, and how very John Carpenter of him, as well as writing many of his own screenplays as well. He translated parts of Tarantino's screenplay for Inglourious Basterds, that had to be in German, and was with he was in a relationship with Franca Potenta until 2002. Franca Potenta now, who plays Lola, she has 57 actor credits to her name, including The Bourne Identity, Blow, and House, the TV show, and Taboo, the TV show as well. She sings some of the vocal over Thomas Tykwer's techno music in Run Lola Run. And apparently she knows how to fence, the sport, not landscaping, of course. Moritz Bleibtreu, who plays Manny, he has 92 actor credits to his name, including World War Z, Speed Racer, Munich, and lots of German stuff you probably never heard of, and I've never heard of either. He was part of the bar scene in Inglourious Basterds, but he had to decline due to being signed on to another film, some film called Soul Kitchen that nobody's ever heard of. I mean, why would you turn down Inglourious Basterds to working with Tarantino for some film that nobody's... I suppose he's contractual, isn't it? You know, if he's signed on, that's the end of it, isn't he? Bit of critical response now. Roger Ebert gave this 3 stars, and he said, director Thomas Tykwer throws every trick in the book at you, and then he throws the book... And then he throws himself. Gone to thetwins.com, Mike Massey said, Run Lola Run is a surprisingly entertaining import and one of those thrilling little projects that will keep audiences guessing till the very end. Intriguing. Letterboxd now, some user called Kate gave it 3.5 stars and said, my favourite part was when she was running. So Hector gave it 4.5 stars and he said, so the whole movie is about a girl running around to techno music. Because that sounds like the best movie ever, okay? the expectation of the film now. So, I'll give you all this background information, and I'm going to... If this is your first time, you won't know this, but I haven't seen this film. So, I gave you all this, got the DVD. I'm going to tell you what I expect from the film. So, let's be honest, this film has passed into pop culture and out and then back in many times. I mean, it's even been parodied by The Simpsons. I'm expecting a fast, edge-of-your-seat sort of paced film with some really brilliant, you know, frantic, kinetic action shots. I really like films of this time, if I'm honest, and place. You know, the European sort of reaction to action films. You know, they're grittier, they're less slick than those films coming out of America. The sort of films where it shows people can get really hurt if they don't know what they're doing. You know, films like District 13 and Lahaine, Taxi, that sort of thing. You know, grittier films, more based in sort of reality. So, yeah, that's my expectation. Hopefully it's going to be good. That's the main thing. I've done a fair few films of late that I've not been impressed with at all, and I think sometimes you've just got to be kind to yourself and go, I'm not just going to keep watching shit for a podcast. I do actually want to like some films. I don't want to keep ragging on all these films. You know, I know what I'm going to get with Zombiesaurus. It's my own fault. But I do occasionally want to watch a film that I'm going to enjoy, and hopefully I'm really going to enjoy this. So I'm going to stop now for an intermission while I go and watch the film. So here's the intermission. So I'm back from watching the film. Quick one, spoilers all the way through now. So if you haven't watched Run Lola Run, like me, and it's even though it's been out for best part of 25 years, if you haven't watched Run Lola Run, go watch Run Lola Run and then come back and we can have a good old chat about it. And you can join in and you can tell me what you think. Or, you know, you can at least just walk around like an idiot with your headphones on going, oh, he's fucking wrong about that. Or whatever you do. So here's my initial reaction. Spoilers, like I said, spoilers. So this was not what I was expecting at all. There's lots of surprises. It kept me interested through the whole runtime. You know, I love that even after we're up to 25 years, 24 years, near enough. Yeah, like 26 years, I think it is, 26 years. You know, this film hasn't been spoiled to me. And it's an odd little film, and I like that a lot. I mean, the soundtrack is banging. Let's be honest, it's a heartbeat of a soundtrack. It keeps the whole film flowing. And obviously Thomas Tykwer knew what he was doing when he put this soundtrack to it. The disjointed plot, because this is a story told in 3 different sections, and it's a bit Magnolia, where it's intersection, you know, it's intersecting, you're telling the same story 3 times, but with different things happening. because she's a bit slower or she's a bit quicker or something happens with Manny. It was unexpected, and I just found myself sitting up in my chair and just wanting to pay attention. That's my reaction. Let's go through the film. Let's hit the highlights of the film. That's me turning the page of my little book. We get a poem from the start, which is Little Gidding, and in German, but it's from T.S. Eliot, which gives way to this pendulum swinging from a devil face clock with some like sort of building EDM in the background, some you know electronic dance music. The camera makes its way through this blurry crowd with some people coming into focus while the narrator talks about the human condition. Then a policeman kicks a football into the air, and from above we see the crowd spell the name of the film. Run Lola Run. And then we get some more EDM over the opening titles. In this massive apartment, a red phone rings in what looks like this sort of like art studio drugs den, and Lola answers, and the phone, and it's Manny, who instantly starts blabbering about losing this money and what an idiot he is. And while Lola explains she had her moped stolen because Manny needs it and needs her. And it turns out Manny got distracted on a subway on his way back from a drug exchange after a tramp collapsed in front of him, and he's left the money on the train. He tells Lola, "You said love can do anything, so find the 100 marks in 20 minutes. I forgot about that. That's when he's got to give this money to the drug kingpin. So straight away, I mean, we're rattling along already. This is 10 minutes in, and it's incredibly over-stylized, and it seems to be, you know, set in some sort of hyper reality. There's lots of gritty, you know, there's this gritty indie feel to the camera work and some of the shots. But anyway, we'll move on now. So Lola says she'll get the money for Manny, and not to do anything silly. So that, remember those words, what she says. She scans through the possible candidates for money. You know, a very video game sort of avatar choice thing here. And then she starts, and so starts the pounding EDM.
Okay.
Lola runs out of the apartment, and the camera follows her but diverges into another room where one of the Lola's flatmates is on the phone. As the camera pans round, it focuses on the TV, which shows Lola as a cartoon character now, running down the stairs past a man with his dog and to the front door. The dog barks, and she manages to get round him. And she hits through the door, and we see that we're back into reality. She starts running to this EDM, you know, this boom, 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 boom. That's my impression of EDM, everybody. And you loved it, you know you did. Lola nearly knocks over a lady and her baby. And the camera stays with this lady. And in sort of flash photography, we see that this lady lost her child to the state through neglect. And then she steals the baby. Then we go back to Lola, and we see grainy footage of Lola's dad and an unnamed woman there, and they're quietly arguing. I assume this unnamed woman was Lola's mum. But back to Lola, who is still running. A guy tries to sell her a bike, and then we have some more flash photography, and we see that he's violently stole it from somebody else. He's trying to flog this bike because he's not his. She runs in front of a car and causes him to crash into a BMW full of muscle men. So there's lots going on here, people. There's lots of moving parts of this film, and you've got to sort of pay attention. This is why this film's so good. You have to pay attention. This film is 77 minutes, but with all my notes, it took me about 3 hours to watch it. So I really love this, where you see somebody and the camera sort of sticks with them for a second, and you see what's happened in their life and how Lola's gone past them and what's happening in their life. It's exactly that. It's a snapshot, and you see the snapshot of what's going on. No dialogue, no nothing. You don't need it. It's just there. So Lola is still running, and she runs past the tram who passed out on the train, and he now has Manny's money. And then we flick to grainy shots, more grainy shots of Lola's dad, and we find out it's Lola's dad has got a mistress and she's pregnant. Lola gets to her dad's work and we see that he's a bank manager. She gets in to see him and she nearly pushes this woman over in the corridor, and we get more, you know, flash photography of this woman and this, it's grainy footage, I think. It's sort of like a flash forward, and this is the first one we see is a flash forward, and this lady's about to commit suicide after a car accident. It kills, I think, a boyfriend or a husband. Lola confronts her dad about the mistress. It turns out she's from the bank's board of directors, and she begs money from dad, and she screams and breaks all the glass in the office.
Sie wird Kinder mit mir haben und ich werde versuchen, glücklich zu sein. Weil da endlich mal jemand ist, der mich meint. Der für mich da ist und nicht immer nur rummeckert. Du bist immer nur am Arbeiten, hast du nur deine Zahlen im Kopf. Du bist immer nur der Chef. Na und wenn schon. Ich hab überhaupt keine Ahnung. Ich hab so satt, Lola, immer nur der Depp vom Dienst zu sein und immer nur der Buhmann. Aber schön Papas Kohle absahen, das gefällt euch was. Nur Schluss damit. Es ist Schluss damit. Was soll's? Kuckucksei wie dich hätte ich sowieso nie in die Welt gesetzt.
Hast aber, du Idiot!
Das hab ich nicht! Ich sag nur Kuckucksei. So, jetzt weißt du's. Der Kerl, der dich gezeugt hat, der hat deine Geburt schon gar nicht mehr mitgekriegt. Schmeißt du sie bitte raus.
He says he'll help her as long as she tells her mom that he's leaving her, that's it, they're done, he's off with his mistress. And then he drops the bombshell that he isn't Lola's dad. And then, after promising this money, he gets her thrown out the bank by the security guard. And she now has 4 minutes, after all this has been going on, she now has 4 minutes to get to Manny, and she's running again. There's a great stunt here. It's fantastic. She's running down the street and she's running alongside a bright red ambulance. The driver gets distracted by her and he just stops short of smashing through this glass. It's a fantastic, because I don't think he's slowed down or anything. It's just pure skill. He just about stops short of going straight through this. You know, it's the old sort of silent movie. Let's move this massive sheet of glass across the road because it makes perfect sense to do that. But that's what they're doing. And we cut to Manny now, who has decided the best way to get his 100,000 marks is to rob a busy supermarket. The ambulance goes by, and in the background, we see that he enters the shop, sort of intercutting with Lola getting very near to this this supermarket. The screen splits in two now, and we can see Manny going into the supermarket and Lola running. Then there's sort of internal monologue praying for him to wait for her. It's this and then we get this brilliant reverse shot of each other's perspectives as Manny goes into the store and fires a shot into the air.
Okay, ihr legt euch jetzt alle auf den Boden.
Auf den Boden!
Okay, ihr legt euch jetzt alle auf den Boden. Hände über den Kopf und die Klappe halten. Hände über den Kopf und die Klappe halten. Kassen auf! So, alle Kassen auf! Die Kassen auf! Kassen auf und hinlegen! Wenn mich nervt, den knall ich ab. Wenn mich nervt, den knall ich ab.
Manny!
Lola, wo warst du denn?
Es ging nicht schneller.
Hilfst du mir?
Können wir nicht schnell abhauen?
Jetzt nicht mehr, siehst du die Scheiße hier.
Warum hast du nicht auf mich gewartet?
While Manny's robbing the store, Lola comes to the window of the store and distracts Manny, and a guard pulls out a gun on Manny from behind him. I mean, are there armed, you know, security guards in Germany? It's just a silly little thing that popped into my head. I went, really? You got the security guard? It's like going into Aldi, just up the road from me, and he's got a gun. It's like, okay. Seems a bit overtly rough-like. So he pulls his gun out, and they have a sort of a standoff. Lola enters the store and knocks the guard out with a bag of shopping, and then, unfortunately, joins the robbery as well. They run from the store with as much money as they can carry and get cornered by the police, but not to EDM. No, the soundtrack, it goes a bit big band at this point, which is, you know, and you guess What a Difference a Day Makes by Dina Washington. Manny throws the money in the air, and one of the armed police shoots Lola accidentally in the chest. I honestly didn't see that coming. That was one of the moments, whoa, hang on, this is like 23 minutes into this film, or like 30 minutes into this film, and you've just killed the main character. Okay, didn't see that coming. As she lies dying, we focus on her face, and we fade to red, and dissolve into bedroom with Manny and Lola together. We get some insecure pillow talk from Lola, talking about that he doesn't love her enough. We again fade to red. We fade back into the to dying Lola, and the day resets, and we start again. Lola running out of the apartment to the animation with the dog. The dog traps her this time, so we see straight away that things have changed, and she manages to get away from him by jumping over the dog and through the over the stairs. And she's running now with a bit of a limp because of jumping on the stairs. And she goes past the lady with a pram. This time, the flash photography. We see that she's got a lotto win in her future. So not only is she a baby stealer, she's also a lottery winner. The next guy who's stolen the bike from the first time round, he'll OD in a public toilet. And then the guy who had the car accident hits the rear of the muscle man's BMW this time. Lola runs into the tramp this time, so it's all a bit quicker this time. She's managed to do something different. Lola gets to the bank again, and the woman in the corridor is not there this time at all. She's obviously missed her, and Dad's mistress argues with him and tells Lola's dad that the baby isn't his. So complete change this time, people. We're all over the place. Lola enters the office, and I made note of the camera work being a bit shaky, almost imitating Lola's heartbeat and breathing from all the running. Really, really cleverly done. The confrontation between the dad, the mistress, and Lola ends up with Lola getting a slap from her dad for being disrespectful. Lola, on her way out, steals the guard's gun and takes her dad hostage. She points the gun at the woman who we saw in the corridor before. She's now behind the desk, and she's now turned up. And we flash with more flash forward photography. The woman is falling in love with the bank clerk, who's also behind the desk with her. And they're indulging in a bit of BDSM just before getting married. So again, all change this time. She committed suicide last time. This time she's in a BDSM relationship. We see Lola, Hannah, and her dad in the counting room. We find out there's not enough money, so he has to get more. Lola and her dad face off in a rare moment of silence in the film, and then they wait for the clerk to return. See, we say clerk in Britain. I know that Americans... Do we say clerk? We say clerk, don't we? We say clerk in Britain, and they say clerk. I don't say that word very often, but we say clerk. We say blank clerk in Britain and the UK. But I think in America they say clerk, don't they? Yes, clerks, yes, of course. So he comes back with the money, and Lola runs out of the bank, only to be surrounded by the police again. As they close in to tackle her and take her down, we realise that they think she is a hostage and not the robber, so they let her go. And we're running again. Manny is about to go into the supermarket again. We catch him. Lola is running with the ambulance, and this time it doesn't stop. It plows straight through that glass. Another fantastic, you know, simple little stunt, but it's incredibly done. And then we back to the split screen of Manny and Lola. But this time he hears Lola shouting and turns to meet her. And as he's crossing the road, the ambulance runs him down right in front of Lola. We have a close-up on Manny's face this time, and it dissolves to red again, and we're back in the bed. And this time it's Manny who is insecure. We come to reality, and we start all over again. Back to the start.
I wish I was a hunter in search of different food. I wish I was the animal which fits into that mold. I wish I was a person with unlimited breath. I wish I was a heartbeat that never comes to rest. I wish I was a stranger who wanders down the sky. I wish I was a starship in silence flying by. With armies at her hand, I wish I was a ruler who'd make them understand.
She runs out into the apartment, past the stairs, the animation, it's back into animation again. This time she jumps the man and the dog. The pushchair lady, this time round, when she gets to her, finds God. The guy on the bike meets the tramp and sells him the stolen bike, because obviously the tramp's got Manny's money. Lola ends up on the bonnet of the car that crashes into the BMW full of muscle men, and it turns out he knows her. That's why he keeps stopping. We see the tramp riding the bike around the city. The dad and the mistress. Now we're going very quickly. The dad and the mistress. He says he wants the baby. Then he gets called away as someone is waiting for him. Turns out it's the car crash man, like I say, and he says, oh, you never guess what, but I've just had your daughter land on my bonnet. As he drives away, we see Lola shouting, but she's missed him. She's missed her dad, who's gone away with this guy. So obviously, the first two times, he crashed into that guy who was late, so the dad couldn't have it. You know, he's very good. He's very intertwined. So the first two times, the guy in the car who knows Lola crashes into the BMW guy, so he can't get to the dad, so the dad ends up, you know, it's greatly intertwined, really well done. The tramp rides by Manny, and Manny realizes who he is and gives chase. He causes a car crash between Lola's dad and the man she knows in the car, and the muscle men in the BMW, and a motorcyclist who we haven't seen before. He's the first time. They may or may not be all dead.
Machen. Komm schon. Hilf mir. Bitte. Nur dieses eine Mal. Ich laufe einfach weiter, okay?
Carry on. She nearly gets run over by a truck outside the casino. She has a bright idea to go in. She goes in and she has 99 marks and 20 cents and exchanges it for a 100 Dutch mark chip. She enters the playing floor and heads to the roulette wheel and bets it all on 20. She wins 3,500 Dutch marks. She plays again and bets it all on 20 again. Now, as far as I can tell, there's no reason behind this. It's just random. There's nothing else in the film that feels like this. You know, the points to 20, you know, but 20's in there. There might be, I'm not sure. But anyway, I didn't catch anything as we were going along anyway. So the security are about to ask her to leave because she keeps winning. I don't really know why, to be honest. Surely you'd be like, okay, let's take the money off her. Other than, you know, the luck being interpreted as an inside job, I suppose. That's the only reason why I think she gets thrown out. Anyway, she says, she tells them just one more game. And as the roulette wheel, the ball spins round, she screams and shatters all the glass, and the ball lands on 20, and she wins 100,000 Deutschmarks, just exactly the same amount as what Manny has lost. She cashes out and leaves with 3 minutes to spare. It's been a busy 20 minutes this time around for old Lola. Manny catches the tramp and pulls a gun in him to stop him getting away and gets his money back, and then the tramp asks for the gun in return. Now, I was expecting this to go all pear-shaped or have some sort of strange, you give me the gun, and okay, you give me the Deutschmarks, and then they just keep doing it back and forward. But they don't. The tramp just leaves. He just, that's it, off he goes. No faffing about, like. The ambulance once again goes by Lola. He misses the glass this time, and while it stops for the glass, Lola hitches a ride and into the back of the ambulance. And we find that in the back of the ambulance, there is an EMT ambulance man administering CPR on a middle-aged man who is slowly dying. We don't know who this is, to be honest. It could be a dad, but it's not really well sort of lit, or you're not sure. But anyway, Lola holds his hand as he slips away. It's quite a little like poignant, sad moment. Anyway, she gets dropped off at the interchange, but there's no Manny, so she fears the worst. But as she looks down the road, Manny arrives and exits the drug kingpin's car. He walks down the road to Lola. Walks down the road to Lola, and he says, "Don't worry, everything is okay. Did you run here?" And after all that running, the end. So my reaction and sum up of this. Now, this is the first film in a while that I have for the podcast. The first film in a very long time, to be honest, probably since about episode 10 or something like that I've properly enjoyed. I've genuinely enjoyed it. I, you know, everything about it was great. I had a preconception of what this film was. I thought it was a bit of a crime caper, you know, something probably more in common with Crank or something like that. But it's more in common with, you know, like a French New Wave, you know, Umbrellas of Cherbourg or I've wrote something down here, I can't read it, like Bad Blood or something like that. The whole film was exciting. That's what I got from it. Yeah, the whole film was exciting. It felt like everything they did was a risk. And it was, you know, you can see that they're hungry with the shots, with the acting, with what they're doing, with the camera work, the music. Everything about it is something I haven't seen for a long time. Somebody hungry for what they're doing. I mean, the score's brilliant. It's so diegetic. I thought it was going to be distracting when it first started, but then it becomes a character in and of itself. You know, it's there to work with the film rather than against it. The little moments of happenstance and coincidence right the way through the film are brilliant, and they're all really well done. Like the man who has the car crash in the three different loops. You understand by the third why he's distracted so much. Because he knows who Lola is, you know. But I love that. That's fantastic. Franka Potenza is absolutely storming as Lola. You know, she has charisma and you have empathy for her. You know exactly why she's doing this. You have no, you know, you have empathy for her, even though you know nothing about her and Manny's relationship. Even though, you know, he's a villain for all intents and purposes. You know, he's not a good guy at all. The feel of it is great. It's slightly grungy. Not completely polished, but it's fresh and it's hungry. And, you know, this film is, like I say, 26 years old now, 2002, 24 years old. That's all my reaction to it, so we'll just move on to the verdict.
Gentlemen of the jury, leads to verdict.
Considering all the facts and arguments presented by both counsel, and after careful deliberation,
the jury will retire and consider the evidence.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
So right, I mean, there's lots of energy to this. It doesn't outstay its welcome. It's a very fast film. I think because of its odd storytelling device, it's memorable and the scenes stick out. Obviously, you know, Thomas Tickler was bang on with that red hair. It sticks with you. It's iconic. She's iconic in that role. You know, and it's a modern classic. It is 100% a modern classic. I mean, let's be honest, it's worth a pound all day. But for the purposes of this podcast, if you were to say to me 85 pence, more than happy to pay 85. So 85 out of a pound, purely because I'm not saying a pound because it's, you know, it's not one. See, I'm talking myself out of it now. But yeah, I'm going to go 85 out of one pound for this. And yeah. If you haven't seen it, I've spoiled it completely. But I don't think I've done a very good job of it because it's so intricate and it's so different. So, yeah, definitely go see Run Lola Run if you haven't. Hit me up on Twitter if you want to chat about it, if there's anything I've missed or anything you want to talk about or anything I've got wrong. By all means, that's the best place to find me, the £1 Movie Podcast on Twitter. I haven't got a Facebook page. You can download it and you can do this, but not in many places. If you're listening to this, you've already found it, so it doesn't really matter. I'm telling you where to find it. You know where to find it because you're listening to it. But anyway, enough of that silliness. Just want to say thank you very much for joining me for episode 28. Come back again and listen again some more. And thank you very much for listening. I've been Wayne and this has been the £1 Movie Podcast. See you again soon. Goodbye.